Well, good day there, friends, and we welcome you back to another installment of Verse by Verse Bible Teaching. This is a ministry of the Wash and Word, which is a hand car washing business located in Churchill, Tennessee, on Highway 11W in the Palace Shopping Center. And it is there that we earn the money to support this ministry. And by you coming to support the business, you are supporting these Verse by Verse Bible teachings. You can hear these Verse by Verse Bible teachings in several different ways, and you can find out all that you need about this business and about this ministry by going to washandword.com. There you can find out whatever it is you want to know about this business and this ministry. That's wash, the letter N, word.com. So picking up where we left off, we're going to get into chapter 19 today. Let's finish the last two verses briefly. Jesus is now before Pilate, and Pilate is trying to dismiss Jesus, saying that there's no real evidence against him to have him crucified. Remember, the Jews needed the permission of Pilate in order to crucify Jesus. In verse 39, we read, "It is your custom for me to release to you one prisoner at the time of the Passover. Do you want me to release the king of the Jews?" The Jews shouted back, "No, not him. Give us Barabbas." Now, Barabbas had taken part in a rebellion. And so here, Pilate is giving the Jews one last opportunity to not link themselves with the death of this innocent man. But they scream, "No, we don't want Jesus." It was a custom back then to release one prisoner in the Passover. They said, "No, don't give us this peaceful man. We'd rather you release a true killer, a true bad man in Barabbas." And we also know that Pilate's wife also warned him in dreams that she was having not to get involved with this man. We don't see it in John's gospel. We see it in other gospels. But even before this event where he presents Jesus to the crowd as one with one last opportunity for them to make it right, you know, he's already been warned by his wife. He's already seen something in Jesus's eyes that says, you know, that something is not right about this. But like Pilate, who was the ruler over his dominion, every single one of us must decide the same thing when it comes to Jesus. Jesus will be presented before each and every one of us, and we are the pilots over our own kingdom. Literally, not Pilate like in the Roman governor here, but Pilate as in driving our own ship. We are masters of our own lives, our own dominion, our own kingdom that we set up. The only question is, who have we set up as king of our personal kingdoms? And this question will come down to every one of us. It comes down to us before we are saved, and it will come down to us at Judgment Day. Who did you say, or what did you do with my son, Jesus? And friends, we need to have that question fully answered and fully finished before we meet our Maker. So that concludes chapter 18. Let's begin in chapter 19. And friends, before we begin chapter 19, I hope you join me for the rest of this message and probably the next one or two messages as we really look at what our Lord suffered at the hands of these men, this innocent Savior. It starts off in verse 1. It says, "Then Pilate took Jesus and had him flogged." Let's stop right there, because I'm not sure if you understand or know all that took place in a Jewish flogging or a Roman flogging, but it was nothing to be taken lightly. In fact, many people prior to their actual sentencing died during the flogging period. It was that brutal. And here, from other writings, we know what took place. First, they stripped Jesus, so he was ashamed and naked. Then they tied his hands above his head, and they whipped him. Now you say, wow, that has got to hurt. But this was no ordinary whip. They would not only string strands of leather together, but at the ends of the leather whip, they would attach fragments of bone and sometimes lead and rock and anything that they could put at the end of this whip that would essentially rip and tear and thrash the bone or the flesh of the one being flogged. So it wasn't just a whipping, it was a tearing of skin. And they would start across your back and across your shoulders, and they would work down your back, and they would get to your legs, and they would start ripping apart the skin in your legs. And we know that there are hundreds of veins that run down your legs. Some are even arterial, like our femoral artery, which I would imagine why some people died during this flogging, because if it ripped an arterial, the femoral artery, then you would bleed out even before you were probably done being flogged. And each time they would strike a spot that was already hit once, it would go even deeper, and there was damage to your skin and damage to your arteries and to your veins and deep into your tissues, even the sinews that were connected to your bones. Even bone was said to be exposed while getting flogged. Your skin would be left in ribbons. Friends, honestly, if Christ was merely flogged for my sin, I would be eternally grateful. But unfortunately, this isn't the only thing that they did to him. And as I said, many died on that whipping post. That whipping post, an appropriate name, as that is what Jesus became for the sins of the world. But for Jesus to die on that whipping post was not his fate. Verse 2, it goes on. The soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they clothed him in a purple robe. Let's stop right there. Now, this crown, this was not part of an ordinary flogging. And doctors will tell you that the scalp, the head, the skull area of a person is one of the most vascular areas on the entire body. And so when they pushed this crown of thorns onto his head and into the what little there is between your skin and your scalp, undoubtedly just ripped open so many veins, and blood poured down Jesus' face. The head was not typically a recipient of a flogging. And so, since the head was untouched, they said they drove their thorns deep into his head. And I find it interesting that they used a crown of thorns, because if you remember back in the beginning of Genesis, one of the things that came into the world as a result of our sin was the presence of thorns. And we see the very presence, the very result of sin being pressed upon the head of our Savior. Certainly a metaphor for what Jesus has come to do. When I was younger, I used to box, and my boxing coach had this one particular training exercise that would teach us how basically to roll with the punches. You know, the old phrase, to roll with the punches. Well, that was an actual thing. You know, as a boxer, you had to learn. And so he would sit us down in the corner, and he would punch us with left and right hooks, and we weren't allowed to block it, but we saw it coming. So when we saw it coming, we kind of rolled our heads, you know, in our upper bodies to kind of help relieve some of the blow of the punch. We rolled with the punches. We don't see it here, but we know Jesus was blindfolded. And in verse 3, we read that after they put the purple robe on him, they went up to him again and again, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews," of course mocking him, and they struck him in the face. And while this is seemingly the least of the things he's endured so far, I think about those times when our boxing coach taught us how to roll the punches, and to see, you know, when a boxer gets knocked out in the ring during a fight, most of the time it's because he had no idea the punch was coming. Oftentimes, he would either be completely blindsided by the punch and get knocked out, or even sometimes would lean into the punch, causing the punch to be twice as hard as it would otherwise. And very, very rarely does a boxer get knocked out while rolling with the punch. And so again, we know that he's been blindfolded. So these punches were being connected, and Jesus didn't see him coming. He had no opportunity to roll with that punch. They were dead on, just unimaginable forces of blows being brought to him in the face while mocking him while he wore the purple robe. Oh, how, I don't want to say great it would have been to watch the judgment of these people before the Holy One, before the Almighty, to see what they had to endure when they realized what they had done just prior to being sent away from God for eternity. I don't want to say it would have been great to see it, because we don't want anyone to suffer. But I would not want to be on the receiving end of the judgment of those soldiers. I could tell you that much. And while this hardly seems, again, worthy of mentioning, because being punched versus the things that he's already endured hardly matches up by comparison. But yes, very difficult to receive those punches the way he did. Remember, these are Roman soldiers that are doing this. And it shows that they were not just carrying out orders, which they were, and believe me, they had to carry out the orders. But it also revealed the wickedness of the heart. You see, they were not ordered to mock him. They were not ordered to punch him and laugh and ridicule him. They weren't ordered to embarrass him in this way. No, this came out of the wickedness that lies within the hearts of you and I. Unbelievers, even worse so. But don't think because you have said yes to Christ that the wickedness of your heart is non-existent. We have to fight that day in and day out. But the hatred that they had for Jesus, and today those who don't know Jesus, whether they admit it or not, have a hatred towards him. You cannot be against Jesus and not hate him, even if you don't think you do. You can sit there and say, you know, I'm not a Christian, but I don't hate Jesus. Sorry, your not a Christian profession is an equivalent to saying I hate him, because if you're not for him, you are against him. Isaiah 53:3, that famous chapter depicting what is taking place in these chapters. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows. He is acquainted with grief. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. They put a robe on him. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever, when you were a kid, maybe you were skateboarding or you fell off your bike and, you know, you scraped your knee up on the road really bad and you knew underneath those jeans it was bleeding, and you roll up the jeans and you're looking at the open wound on your knee, or the really bad deep down scrape? Can you, you know, and then you try to roll your jeans back down over this wound. It hurts and it's uncomfortable. Now, again, the robe was purple and it was to mock his kingship. Think about that. His whole body at this point was like a just ripped and torn and bleeding and raw and bare. I cry like a baby sometimes when I take a Band-Aid off, let alone putting on this robe over all of those open flesh wounds, and then later stripping that robe off of him. Just the pain of it going on and off. And you know, this probably wasn't a good robe. It's probably made of burlap and painful things. Our Savior endured so much. Then they forced him to carry his own cross, probably weighing in excess of over 40 pounds. This isn't some smooth piece of wood you get from Home Depot. This is a rugged, jagged, and splintered piece of wood that no doubt with every struggle and every limp that he made, he was getting jagged and, you know, splinters going into his body. Now, John's description of this whole scene is only 3 verses long. And only one verse for the actual crucifixion. Because as brutal and as unfair as all of this was, it is not the main theme. Redemption is. And we say this when we take communion. We do this in remembrance of me. But friends, the beating was a means to an end. And the end is our redemption. So the next time you take communion, let's take part in that redemption of our sins. And let's remember the Lord's finished work and what he had to endure for the sake of us. I hope today you take a few minutes to reflect on what happened to Jesus so that you and I can one day spend eternity with God. And thank you. You should pray every day that he opened up your eyes for that truth. Well, have a blessed day. Let's get back into this again next time. Join me here or go to washandword.com for more. Have a blessed day.